And I may not, but I wanted him to know before he left. I've never heard him preach a better message than what he did here Sunday night, as far as I'm concerned. But anyhow, that message he preached, and I'll read the verse of Scripture. It's not hard if you think about it. What he said is in, he read this. I'm not trying to copy or add anything to it, but he opened up some avenues to my soul and opened up some things to me that lets me know that he's on the right track and I'm right behind him. Amen. I don't know who's going to get there first, but we're both headed the same direction. I want to reach as many lost people as I can. Now, tonight, I'm going to, the things that I'm going to get talk about, it's about God. Brother Randy's already covered half of my message already. I had to go back and cull out some of the things I was going to say because he's already said it. Amen. But that's all right. But I want you to know tonight, God is real. And that's what we want to talk about tonight. And we want to remind you about the things of God and whatnot. But let me get to what was on my heart, what Brother Steve preached on Sunday night, the fifth verse of the first chapter of 2 Peter. And it says this, "And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge." And what his message was basically about was adding to your faith. And faith is a believing. That's the believing part of the gospel. And the word virtue, and I took this out of the dictionary. I want to read it to you, see if I can find it. Here it is. Stuck it in my Bible. It don't give a lot of illustration or whatnot about the word virtue. And that stuck in my mind when he hit that note here Sunday night, and it just opened up a great avenues of what happens and what's going on today. And the word virtue really means moral excellence. Moral excellence. And moral quality. And we know what excellence is, and quality is how good something is. If it's good quality, that means it's sound, it's solid, it'll last, and you can depend on it if it's good quality. And virtue is good quality. That's what the word means. And it says, add to your faith virtue. And that is one thing that we're losing. And I remember what the Bible says about Ruth, about she was a virtuous woman. He touched on that also, about a virtuous woman. She was a virtuous woman, and she, they ain't nothing wrong. Everybody today in this day and time, they go into these churches, they call them mega churches, that promise they'll make you rich. If you'll come and give us your money, we'll make you rich and we'll lead you into the promised land, or all kinds of different gospels. But I want you to know something today. When Christ comes back, there's going to be a lot of poor people. There's going to be a lot of underprivileged children. There's going to be a lot of people that has to work hard for a living, and they ain't nothing. They ain't enough money to go around to make all of us millionaires, Brother Brown. Amen. And ain't no need of him lying to you about it. And nobody else today. I didn't come to Christ to find $1 million. I didn't give my heart to the Lord to find an easy way. I gave my heart to Christ because I didn't want to go to hell. Amen. Woo! Hallelujah. I want tonight for you to realize God has not changed. He's the same today as he was yesterday, and he'll be the same forevermore. Amen. He does not change. He has not changed. His word has not changed. And thank you tonight, Lord. I see Maureen. You know what I'm talking about. Amen. That thrilled me when I heard her voice on the phone, Blake. I thought she was sick, and I couldn't find out about her yesterday. And it worried the soup out of me. But I seen her tonight, and she looked just like she always did. Amen. But I want you to know something. We make friends down here, and we make contact with people, and we learn to love them. We get close to them. It breaks our heart when we lose somebody. But God knows what he's doing. God knows how to, the farmer, he always, when he raised his cattle, he'll cull out the bad and keep the good. And he'll sell that is not good because he don't want his herd to be inbred and go downhill. And he'll get rid of that that's not choice quality. Amen. And I'm afraid today that's what's happening in this life. When you, down here now today, I used to use this a whole lot, reference to the traveler's insurance. You know, their insignia, they got an umbrella. And it says an umbrella of safety today. And every born-again believer tonight has that umbrella. Hallelujah. But how you use it now is up to you. You can leave it home if you want to and or do whatever you want to. But that umbrella that I carry around, it protects me from the devil. It protects me from this modern theory and the modern gospel that they're putting out. I remember, I'll tell you this. I'll tell you something tonight. I'll bear my soul to you that I have never before spoken, made reference to it in my life behind the bookboard. It's not something that I'm proud of. It's something that I'm ashamed of. But God, when I was back in 1964, when I was saved, God gave me a great desire. I was raised in a Mormon church. And y'all, if you're not close to them, you don't know about them. And it upsets them for people to call them a cult. But that's exactly what the Mormon church is. It's a cult. It's not a religion. It's not it's a belief, sure, but it's not a religion. A religion refers to being born again or being saved, being a Christian and whatnot. I know there's lots of Mormons that are good. There's lots. My family is still Mormon, but I'm not Mormon anymore. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. But when I was younger, and I was raised in a Mormon church, and then we didn't have a church to go to when I was so young. The Mormon church was not really established, Randy. Amen. They had elders. You know, you see them on the bicycles all over the country now and all over the world. It's the greatest growing church that there is in the world. They're growing by leaps and bounds because they work at what they're doing. But to me today, and this is part of what I want to talk to you about tonight. They are misleading and misguiding the people today. Amen. And the reason they're called a cult is they believe that the head of their church, their president, they believe that he's an angel. They believe he's sent from God to be there, like they do the Catholic Pope, how they worship him. He is the boss. He's the head of everything. He tells them what to do, and he guides them. And every church does the same thing. Every Sunday, they teach the same thing. They teach the same message wherever you might go in a Mormon church. whichever church you decide to go to, there's one down here on Cunningham Road. But every one of them you go to teaches the same thing on Sunday morning and all during the week. You don't go to one church and hear a message today and then go back and another church and hear a different message. And they're not spirit-led. They're not spirit-filled like we are. They never get emotional in their church. There's never enough power, as somebody told me one time when they told me about my dad. Said, "Well, Olin says, I love Brother Paul, but he is just misguided." And I know that. But he said, "Paul, if he had all the spirit in that church, if it was dynamite, he wouldn't have enough to blow his nose." And boy, that stayed with me all of the years of my life. And they don't have a spirit there. They just go in fellowship. And they'll take a country boy that can't even speak good English. You know, like me, you know, I mess up my words bad. A lot of times I can't pronounce a word. And this country boy don't. I don't have that kind of education. But they teach education. They teach those things. If you say a word funny, they'll correct you when you go to their church. If the preacher's up there, well, they don't have preachers. But if that man up there doing the speaking, if he says something that's not pronounced right, after service, the first thing that happens, that chief elder takes him aside and expounds to him what the word said, how it's supposed to be spoken. Amen. That vocabulary don't mean a hill of beans to me. Amen. I'll tell you something else. They believe in genealogy. They trying to prove who that they're kin to somebody over in Arabia or whatnot. Their lineage goes back to so and so and so and so. Amen. They've always tried to prove that the Indian was the original in America. I don't know that. I hope he was. It don't really matter to me if he was or wasn't. I'm part Indian. And my dad was proud to be part Indian. He loved it because he was a Native American. He loved it. He looked like an Indian. But I want you to know something. Chief. His name was David Crow. Was, I don't know if he's still the chief of Cherokee or not, but David Crow is a distant cousin of ours. And my dad was so proud of that. You know, he believes that lost tribe of Israel is spoken of in the Bible is the Indian nation. Well, it may be. I don't know that. I have no way to prove it or disprove it. There's no genealogy or nothing else that will prove it. But I don't give a rip about that. I don't care if I'm kin to an Indian. I don't care if I'm kin to somebody in Saudi Arabia. I want people to know that I'm kin to God. I'm kin to Jesus and to brother. Amen. And I love you. And I believe for you with I don't know how I got onto that, but I got off of what I was going to tell you. When I was called to preach back in 64 or 65, amen, I made the mistake, amen, of getting away from the Lord, and I wouldn't accept it. And it about drove me crazy, and I just became that close to an alcoholic. Amen, I was drunk all the time for months and months and months. And my wife and my mother finally got up enough courage to send me to Milledgeville, of all places. The only place and only time in my life I was ever locked up. I was never locked up in a cell, but I was behind bars down there, and I couldn't go where I wanted to go. Amen. Because I was an alcoholic. And you know what it was? Well, the reason is because they told me that I was going crazy when I told them that I was announced my calling. that God wanted me to stand. He wanted me to preach. Amen. They told me that I was crazy. I went off on the deep end and this and that and the other. And I just about went bananas. And there ain't no joke about it. I stayed in Millersville 7 days down there before they sent me to Murfreesboro. That's a mental hospital, the GI hospital in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. They kept me up there for 2 weeks. The first time I got the door open, I want to tell you what happened while I was there. I didn't know what was going on. Mentally, I was not capable of making a rational decision. But it didn't take long. Saturday night, I was laying there on that bed, the hospital bed, and my hospital bed faced the south. I remember just like it was yesterday. And the Lord told me what He said. Said, "Son, I told you what to do, and you won't do it." That's all I heard. That's all I heard. And a few minutes later, looking toward the west, everybody knows that the moon don't come up in the west, and neither does the sun. But it came up from the west that night, and it came in that big old window, came right down the aisle, came straight to my bed. That moon was getting in bed with me, and that scared me to death. I'm telling you what's the truth. I didn't know. I was on my knees praying and that quick, and I knew where the message was coming from. It was coming from God. He was letting me know that He was all-powerful in heaven and earth, and everything was in His control. Everything, He dictates what goes on, Randy. He dictates what's going to happen to this world. And we don't know what's going to happen. But that night, I surrendered my life to the Lord. And they wouldn't let me out of there. So next morning, about 10 o'clock, I snuck out and I come home. Amen. And I've never been back to another mental hospital. But that taught me a lesson today to be obedient to the Lord. And that is something in my life that I'm ashamed of. But it's the truth. Amen. I never will forget it. They wanted to make me a deacon. I didn't want to be a deacon. I didn't want nothing to do to be a deacon. I wanted to be a preacher. But I just didn't have the courage to stand up for it. Amen. And go against them all. But when that night, when that moon got in bed with me or came down to my bed, it taught me a lesson I'll never forget. That God still is in control. He do anything He wants to do. And that's what we want to talk about tonight. We want to caution the people. And in Acts 3, I want you to notice something. People don't realize today, and this day and time, I'll try not to hold you too long, but I've got a lot to say. I've still got a lot to say. And I won't know if I can get it all out tonight or not. In the third chapter of the book of Acts, and you'll find in the fourth verse, now this is the story, that this is a man that Peter and John, in the third verse, about to go into the temple, ask an alms. The fourth verse, and Peter fastened his eyes upon him, and John with John, and said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk." And he took him by the hand, right hand of Christian fellowship. He took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple with walking and leaping and praising God. I bet he was having a time, wasn't he? What would you do? Amen. Listen to this. I got to go another couple of verses. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and had wonder which what at what at that which had happened unto him. Now I want you to think about this today. People are looking when they come to the church. I said this at the beginning. People are looking for the church to make them millionaires. They're looking for the church to make them rich because they come and give their life to the Lord. The preacher has promised them that they'd be rich, that they could have anything that you want. But I want you to know something. That is true to an extent. That is true if you take the whole context of what he's talking about. God told us in his word that he would give us the desires of our heart. But there's a stipulation with that. If you'll serve him, if you'll live him, live like he wants you to, then he will give you the desires of your heart. We see people today that can't be healed. I want to go back a little while, back into the 80s, the years of the 80s, when my ministry was at its peak, when I was strong and I had lots of strength, when I could go to revival 37 weeks out of 1 year and not miss a night, 5 nights a week for 37 weeks, and still feed my family and take care of everything that I needed to take care of, run a small business and all of that. And I was enjoying every minute of it. Amen. I leaped and I jumped and I preached and I hollered. I shouted and I done it all. Amen. And I had seen people walking the aisle, coming from every direction, and finding Jesus important to them in their life. They finally found out and found that they could not live without Jesus in their life. They could not survive without Jesus in their life. But today I want you to notice this. People are looking for the church to make them rich or to do this or do that. The only way that you're going to get rich in the church is do what God tells you to do.
That's right.
I'm talking about really rich. You're going to be really rich when you find out the will of God in your life. Amen. The lost people, I don't know how many here tonight, if there's any that's lost. I don't know anybody's heart tonight. I don't know how they are. But I want you to know something tonight. That you can excel in this world and go as high as you want to go. But when you die, you go to hell, just like the rest of them. It don't matter. God today is omnipotent. Yes. There's nobody greater. There's nobody more powerful. There's no power in the world except the power of God. His power is the greatest of Muhammad Ali and scratch the surface yet. Amen. God has got all power in heaven and earth. He can say live and we live. And he can say die and we'll die. And today if you want to find Jesus and you want to find life everlasting, you're going to have to come to the Lord and dedicate your life unto him.
Amen.
You may have $1 million, but you have $1 million of everything else.
Yeah.
Amen. It just gets richer and richer and richer as the years go by.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Hallelujah. Will you see me have a fit? And you just ask me what God has done for me. I've had cancer 5 times. And I've got over everyone. I beat them all. They told me one time that I'd never get out of a nursing home. I'm proof of wrong. Amen. They don't know what God has in store for me. They don't know, but I do. But I was going to tell you back in the 1980s, In my ministry, we went to the hospitals. We went everywhere. I seen the dead people that had been pronounced dead. I seen them walk out of the hospital. I seen them get up in places where they've been said there was no hope for them. And this lady called me down here, lived down on the Favor Road, and called me one day and told, "I want you to come see my mother." Amen. She heard you on the radio in Carterville. She wants you to come and pray with her. She's going to have cancer surgery in the morning. So I told her I'd be there, and I got somebody, had to have somebody to drive me. I was crippled. I couldn't get there at that particular time. Amen. And I went down to the Continental Hospital. We walked in there, and the family was all gathered around. Everybody looked so sad. I mean, it looked like, the death warmed over. I mean, that was the wrong place for to practice that. She was dead yet. Amen. I talked to her, and she had a hope in Christ. And she said, "Brother Crow," I said, "if I don't make it," she said, "that'll be all right." He said, "my next step will be glory." Amen. I'll be home the next step. So it don't matter if I don't make it. But I want you to get my family under control. Right. Let me pray for them before I go. Let's come to the night that they will have faith in God no matter what His will is. Well, it's going to work anyhow. No matter what you want, and God's will is what's going to work. Right. Amen. But today, we had prayer with them, and then we talked to them, and they said, We'll pay you if you'll stay here all day with us while mother's in surgery." And I had a chance to witness to those people. And most of the people were dedicated Christians. They knew the Lord. They knew the power of God. But they had lost faith in the Lord because it happened to mama. Amen. Because it happened to somebody close to the family. They lost faith in God. They look back and see what used to be and not what was ahead. I tell you what used to be. Used to be a misery and hurt and sickness and all of that. But what's ahead is glory. Yeah. What's ahead is heaven. God has in store for us things that our heart can't even imagine, Blake. Amen. Today, but our faith has got to be in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. It don't matter what else you do, and you can believe anything you want to. You can believe these newfangled things is coming along, and then when you die, you're going to hell. Or you can get your heart right with God and live you this life. If you want to see miracles happen in your life today, you come to Jesus. That's a miracle of when I was born again, Brother Thomas. That's a miracle to me. He brought me out of the Mormon church and set me, my feet on a solid rock, and my hope and my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a miracle to me how I transformed from bad to good. Amen. I never wanted, that's the truth. I didn't finish what I was starting. I've never wanted a drink of alcohol since that I met that man in the moon that night. Woo! He cured me of alcoholism. Amen. He knew how to get my attention. Amen. He knew just exactly what it do. But when he got my attention, then when I come back over to Whitworth about 5 o'clock in the evening. And they had a rock altar out there, and a bunch of preachers and people, dedicated Christians, praying out there beside the church, watering on the ground, calling on God. "Oh, save my boy, save my son, save my daughter, get my friends out of this mess." And they had faith to believe in the Lord. Amen. When I stepped out of that car that night, my wife, I never, my first wife, and she's dead, rest her soul. I never heard her shout but that one time.
Bless you.
In my life. Amen. But when I stepped out of that car and started walking toward
that church, she turned around and looked and seen me, and she shouted, "Amen." She said, "I knew God would work. I knew God could do it." Amen. So that's what they were doing. They were praying for me. Amen. Amen. If we spend more time on our knees than we do and groaning and moaning and worried about this and that and the other, and leave the things more important than God, let Him do it and start living for Him, you'll see more things happen. But that time when I was down there with the hospital, with Sister Dia, and she was, when she came after the surgery, we were all standing outside in the waiting room. It used to be on the ground floor in the operating room, did. Amen. And we were all, I think it was probably 20 people there in the hospital. And that, they come out, the doctor come out, and I can never will forget it, as long as I live. When he came out the door, he reached up and got his mask and pulled his hand off of his face. And he looked so sad, he looked like he was, real down and out. And he said, he just shook his head and said, "I'm sorry." And that's the only thing he said. He just turned and walked up. Sister D got me to the head and said, "Let's go pray." We were in a room there, a holy room, when the people would come out of surgery and die. They put them in this holy room, but so when the mortician picks them up. And then that was the room where we was at, but there wasn't nobody in there. Nobody but her, their mother, and me and her. And we started praying. People won't believe this.
Bless our brother.
I can tell it. They think I'm lying. I can tell it. And people won't believe it. But we started praying. And then we prayed for just a minute or so. And somebody else joined in with us from the family. And we, before we got done praying, that sheep moved off of that body. That dead body. Whoa, Sister Dion screamed. She lived nearly 5 years after that. And you tell me God can't work. But you know, it wasn't my prayer. It wasn't her prayer. It wasn't nobody's prayer.
Bless it.
It did it. It was the power of God.
Amen.
Because we believed in Him. We didn't know that she was dead. We just, and all he said is, "I'm sorry." That's all he said. So we went and prayed, but that woman came back to life. I never will forget that doctor. About an hour after that, he come back, maybe two or three, whatever, a good little bit after that. He came back out there in the waiting room and told us, said, "She's in ICU, and everything will be all right." He said, "I thought we lost her, but God seemed fit to bring her back." If you want to see miracles in your life, you want to see miracles. Our young people, son, if they angel, live up to your name. If you want to have a life, if you want God to bless you, you want. And you will see miracles like that happen. You can still come to God. And you seek Him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And He said, all of these things will be added to you. Am I right? Did I misread that?
That's right, brother.
I don't think I misread that matter. I believe that. Amen. There was a time that Baptist churches had power. There was a time that I could pray for the lost, and they couldn't sit in the room where I was at. There was time when the church, when we'd have services, and they would start, and you would see people take off, jump up and take off. They could not stand to be there. Amen. But somehow, some way, the devil has slipped in, and he's told us that if you'll do it my way, then we'll make it easy for you.
Yes, sir.
And we'll make it easy for you. There ain't no easy way. There's only one way. That's God's way. And there ain't no secondary things going to happen. Amen. If you believe in God, if you believe in the Lord, then all faith are
yes.
With the life of the belief.
Yes.
If you believe in God, all things are possible.
God bless him, Lord.
The Mormon Church promised me an eldership. If you'll stay with us, we'll make you an elder. It says if you'll study and you get educated, then we'll make you a priest. They don't know what to talk
about.
They don't know where it's all at. He told me that I just read it a little bit ago, that make us priests and kings in God's house. Amen. With the Lord, but not in no Mormon church. Amen. He wants people to know the truth.
Yes,
and I want you to know the truth. If you want to be happy, you're going to have to come with God. I mean, totally happy. I had an aunt that lived through misery. She lived with the sorriest drunk that ever lived, I think. I can't, but the Bible tells me, judge not, lest you be judged by the same judgment. I have to watch that up real careful because I make rash judgments too quick. Amen. But he was sorry. He run around on her all of her life, all of their married life.
Bless him.
And he half the time he wouldn't be home and all that. But she never lost faith. When last time I saw her was the day before she died. She was still in love with the Lord. She loved him no matter what. And she made a commitment when she married him. For better or worse. Our marriage vows are taken from the Bible. Whether thou goest, I will go. Whether thou lovest, I will love. And whether thou lovest, I will love. All these things that Ruth said, you must get us on this Sunday. I read it with Brother Steve, I guess it was. That Ruth has never mentioned anywhere else in the Bible. God has never mentioned it in the Bible. That's the only book in the Bible that is not that way. Ruth believed in God. She was committed to God. Her Naomi, the father, she wasn't a Christian when her son married her. When they went down to Egypt to make to find that gold on the end of the rainbow, they got down there and found nothing but fish. She lost her only two sons, and it was his turn, her husband. He died too. So there was no wife of Naomi, their two mother-in-law. But Naomi never gave up. She taught Ruth how to live. She taught Ruth what to believe and what to look forward to. She made a commitment. Death doeth us part. Well, I married a lot of people, and we always use that illustration in a marriage vow. Death doeth us part. That's one of the verses. That's the only thing. But today, the Mormon Church, you can get married, get your marriage sealed. They call that sealed in heaven. Well, you know, maybe in your time of love, it don't work out. You start fussing and fighting like somebody. You see somebody else you like better than your wife, or your wife likes better than your husband. You go down there and the priest said, unseal. Then you can get a divorce and do whatever you want to do. Go read and then find another man, or that one that you went out for, go back. Have him sealed. Amen. Go live with him for a few years. And if it don't work out, does yet, go down and see the said, go find you another. Now, that's the reason it's called a cup, because it goes that. And I believe it's that way.
Yeah.
I don't believe in that kind of gospel.
No,
that ain't something the church should practice.
Amen.
The church should practice death. Doeth us part.
That's right.
Amen. I made the choice with her to live with her until death. Amen. And that's where I'll be. Amen. It may not be what I want, but that's where I'll be. Amen. No matter what happens. I'll be with her to death my way. And I hope you're that way today. If you haven't made that commitment, you need to. You need to. Because, you know, I've committed a few remarriages. You know, renew the service and the sermon and the dedication of the marriage, you know, just like the first time.
My sharp brother.
Amen. That's funny. Brother Sammy Hall. Brother Sammy Hall, my first wife died. And I was, she had been dead over 3 years when I met him. And so I didn't took in the love of you. We didn't take it for 4 years. But Brother Sammy Hall, here, I was 2 years ago at his town. But you wondered, I married him in Tracy. I performed their wedding. And so they wanted me to redo it again. So we was up at Cartersville and at Center, I believe it was Center Church, Center Baptist, where it was at. And we went through the whole ceremony. I want to tell you something particularly. I wore the same suit that I married in. I wore the same shoe. I still got it at home. That I married Sammy with
my heart
for the first time. So, what nothing do it but when I love Sammy. Him and I are closer than brothers. We're like we're twins or something. I don't know how you get close. But I love that rascal. He loves me. He calls me twice a week, just about every week. He may be working or somewhere else or whatnot, but he'll take out his lunch break and call me. Find out, oh, how you doing? Is everything okay? But when Kate and I went to get married, who married us? Brother Sam. Amen. And I hope when I married for 45 years, we were married. 2003, so that's at 5, 7 years, whatever it is. I can't be mad. But anyhow, however many long it is, when I get married 25 years, he's going to redo up there. Ain't that wonderful? But you see, this is done in one way. It's done by the power of God. It's done because I believe in God. The reason that good things happen to me, I believe in the Lord. The reason I was saved, I believed in the Lord. Then the only reason, the only way you're going to get saved, only reason you're going to find this joy and find happiness is to believe in the Lord. Believe in Him. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. All things. But without Him, He didn't promise a lost person that you could do all the things. He didn't promise them that. He only promised His people that. My people, if you read the 11th chapter of Hebrew, you'll find the greatness of God. And I was reading over in the Old Testament about the greatness of God. I believe it's Psalms 104. I believe it seems like it is. Gives a great illustration of the power of God. And what happened to the children of Israel was as long as they believed in Him, the great things happened.
Yeah.
They overcome all their adversaries.
Right.
But when they got away from God, they began to lose.
Right.
So we don't want to lose faith. We want to grow and gain faith.
Come on.
Add to your faith virtue.
Good.
And knowledge.
Good.
And wisdom. That's what you need to do. And but tonight, without Jesus, you can't do nothing. You can make a big mess out of your life. But if you take it the Lord's way, read that book, and
tell you just exactly what you need to know, which way you need to go. That's what I got to say. The Lord has told me to shut up. So I'll shut up. But I want you to know tonight, Jesus loves you more than anything else before. He went back to sit on the right hand of the Father, make intercession for you and I. So the things I can't do, I call on Him, Brother Jeff. When I need help, I call on Jesus. When I need, I'll tell you something. When I need loving, and we all at times need loving, no matter how bad you get, amen, the Lord will love you back.
Yes, amen.
He'll give you peace of mind, contentment, and joy when there is no joy. Right in the middle of World War II, my grandmother told me, says, son, I don't know how many's coming back, but she says, I do know this, that the Lord is still in control.
Yeah.
I love her. She'd be in the field of hoeing cotton and cleaning her garden, flop. There was a sprig of grass in her yard. She had white sand in her yard. She pulled up all the grass and all the weeds and planted flowers. And she had an old brush with her. She'd be out there on Saturday morning. She'd have that radio wide open, blasting everybody in the country could hear. And blasting the preachers preaching. And she preaching, first thing you know, that brush room would go one way and the water would go the other way. And she'd dance all over the yard. If you've got religion like that, you're safe. But if you ain't got no religion and singing through the darkness, you're unsafe.
That's right.
That's my
best. God bless you.
There's some more scripture I was going to read to you, but I left it out.
That's good.
But I love you tonight, and I want you to know the only way that you can be truly happy is completely committed in marriage. If Jeff and Amanda is not completely committed, their marriage will never work. If you and Tony are not totally committed, it will never work. It won't matter. I remember her when she was a teenager. She wasn't always as pretty in this house. But she was always friendly. She's always been pretty with me. I've loved her all her life. She was little and
stinking.
We'd be having college prayer meetings. With our Bible study, and she was actually you to this. Back over to the house. Mama wants this, Mama wants that. You couldn't get her this way. But as she grew older, she had that idea. She do have that idea. I love her, but I love being that older.
Blessing God.
I ain't got time. Come on, Jeff. I won't never stop. I'll just keep growing. I can tell you many, many miracles that I've seen happen. Because we believe the Lord is what He told us to. People, if you've seen anybody heal, I mean literally heal right before your eyes.
Bless Him, Lord.
I haven't seen it now in 15 years. But we used to see it all the time. We used to see the cripples gain their strength, come back, lay down their crutches, and walk.